Welcome to Insider Exchange, the vodcast bringing you the honest and unfiltered opinions of experts on all things companies, markets, and investments, and occasionally some thoughts from some people that are in the studio. I'm Jimmy Moyaha.
I'm Nicolette Mashile.
And I'm Simon Brown.
Bring me my money.
Get this money.
Money.
Where's the money? How much money are we talking?
Get me some money to have my money.
In Market Matters, we take a look at the Government of National Unity, the US data that's come out, commodities are suddenly running, and Hulamin gets an activist investor. Where do we start? Do we start locally or do we start offshore?
Local.
Okay. Government of National Unity finally decided to get itself together. Well, in part, I mean, we can only say so much, but the positivity around that and the fact that markets just started rallying off the back of, I suppose it's almost as if markets perceived this outcome better than what it would have been if the ANC didn't constitute a government of national unity on 40%.
Yeah, I think so, Jimmy. I mean, a couple of things. I mean, firstly, some of the stuff, banks started railing beginning of June. Mm-hmm. Then we had and that was just post the election. Patently obvious that the ANC is not going to get a majority, not even close to majority, so they're going to have to talk to folks. I think there was worries as to who they would talk to, i.e. would it be DA, IFP, or would it be EFF, MK? And the market likes what they're seeing. Now, this past week, I mean, we're 1,000 points off the highs. Mm. Markets rallied. There's been a bit of, you know, I suppose, perspective. You know, this is a five-year journey. It can break down at any point in this journey. Let's be quite clear. But there is, coupled with 100 days of no load shedding, and then coupled with other things. Like, let's roll forward a year. We'll have lower rates, maybe as much as a full percent. We'll have lower inflation. Maybe the rand is stronger, so petrol prices are down. People are going to be drawing from their two-pot system and taking potentially billions out and spending it rather than saving it, which they should do. But suddenly, like the SA consumer who's had 4 years
of rough, go
back to the pandemic and it's been a horror. Suddenly it's like there's actually some light out there.
Hey.
So we've seen it initially in banks. We've seen it in local retailers. But we've broadly, I mean, SA Inc. is suddenly saying, looky. And even, you know, silly little stocks like Zeta, the car, not the agri, CMH, and these are stocks I follow and or
City
hold.
City Lodge had done nothing for the longest time. Suddenly we're back above 4.50. I think it's up 4.5% for the month already, and we're like 5 days into the month. I hear what you're saying is that it's a culmination of things that had put pressure on the consumer. And spoken to David Shapiro about as well, about the fact that the South African market is resilient.
Yeah.
And this has been the ultimate test of resiliency is, can we survive everything breaking at the same time? And suddenly the market is like, you know what? We haven't given SA stocks enough credit in the past. But to be fair, there are some other stocks that are still struggling along. I mean, I think about Sibanye, which despite declaring a Section 189 this week, rallied yesterday.
Let's quickly go back to the market. Our market is also cheap. I mean, the top 40 trailing PE is 13.5, dividend yield 3.5. Mm. This is historically cheap. The forward is even cheaper than that. And it's not just that there's positivity. There's positivity coupled with stocks that, I mean, the number of stocks that are sitting on 5, 6, 7, 8 PEs, and to your point, surviving really, really tough conditions.
Mm. Do you know what I really like about the South African story as well is the fact that when you look at all of the companies and you look at all of the uncertainty that's happened, it's almost as if, much like, I think about something like gold, where you saw gold kind of decouple from the Bitcoin price movement, right? The South African market's almost gotten to a point where it's like, you know what? There are external factors that do affect business confidence, but the business confidence side of it is just ticking along. I'm thinking about the Eskom, the 100 days situation. I spoke to Tsepo Khadima, independent energy analyst, and he was saying the fact that businesses and consumers, demand has come down. And he gave me some ridiculous stat about gigawatt hours. 3 gigawatt hours was what we expected to be from a demand. We're now down to 2.7 or something. We need to be at 3.8. Random numbers. But the point around that was there's less reliance on Eskom. It's almost as if we were under such a stressful situation and so much pressure that the businesses, the consumers, everybody was like, let's just find the alternative. Let's just go with the alternative, whether it's building solar, even with the solar import tariffs that have now come in, whether it's that or just not having this affect us. And I think back to like Astral. And that 2 billion rand, because that's the only number that Astral went on about. 2 billion rand cost of load shedding in one financial year. And then you look at Rainbow, who just listed on the JSE recently. And you're like, okay, is that... And perhaps we'll look at that. We'll look at Rainbow a little later around.
But that is the pressure from businesses. I mean, ShopRite made 8 billion profit and spent 1 billion on diesel.
That's it.
You know, now, okay, we're only 100 days in. Mm. But it means 250 million of that diesel price is now back in their bottom line. Now, sure, they've got to go pay Eskom. And let's be clear, Eskom is not cheap. but it's certainly just money dropping to the bottom line. The Mercantech Business CEO Confidence Index was up 13 points for June. So it's 51.
It's amazing having electricity. Right?
It does a lot for your psyche.
It does a lot for just, and your business.
So there is a huge amount of positivity. Stuff is cheap. And if we roll it a year forward, consumer in a better place. I mean, I've been buying stuff left, right, and center.
How do you then compare it with the US picture? Because US, every time Jerome Powell takes the stage or says something, there's always this concern, US data, this about interest rates and all of that. And what I think we spoke about this as well to say, when the ECB started cutting ahead of everyone else, the global picture started looking very different. The global picture was, in the past, we're going to wait to see what the US does because they've been front-running this whole conversation. Now everybody's like, we're going to wait to see how our economy does before we listen to the US. Obviously, South Africa is a bit different with the effect of the rand dollar and all of those sorts of things. But US data now, private jobs numbers came out on Wednesday. Today, we're getting non-farms data.
And unemployment.
And unemployment data. And it's almost a sense that whether the data is good, bad, the market is saying it's either one or two rate cuts. We will not accept less than one. Which at some point we thought we might get less than one.
Yeah. Well, and it's also... There's two things happening. We talk, you know, the concentration of the top 10 stocks in the S&P 500 is 40%, which is a record. But they're not the dot-com... fakies. These are, you know, Microsoft, Amazon. I mean, they're making money, right? Meta, et cetera, et cetera. And the US economy, I was chatting with Craig Antonio from Anbro Capital, and he talks around a sort of a bear market by stealth. And if you go and look at Walmart, you go look at Johnson & Johnson, you look at the sort of, you know, traditional economy stocks, they're not having a good year at all, which means maybe Jerome Powell is kind of, if we remove the top 10, what were the Mag 7, but then of course Tesla fell over and stuff.
Or just remove NVIDIA.
you take them out of the equation. Yeah. The market's not so rocking. I mean, unemployment is expected to be 4%, which is a number we would kill for, but way up on the 3-point whatever they had a year 4%. Or so ago. So my sense is, and I know that the market's all spooked and like, it's going to be, you know, only one cut. Look, even if it's only one, I don't think he can cut in September because of the election. So if it's not July, then it's November, December. Mm. But he can sneak two in November, December. Sneak two in as well.
I think that we often forget about this rate cut conversation is they don't necessarily have to sneak in two either. He can go straight for 50 basis points.
That's the other point.
Which might be a bit of a shock to the market, but it'll be a shock in the right direction, hopefully, I think, if we navigate.
So he doesn't have to necessarily do the 25. And on the way up, remember, he did a 4%, which was the first 4% increase since, like, I think 1995 when Bill Clinton was president.
Ooh, there's a throwback for a name.
Fun fact, he's younger than both the current presidents running, both the candidates.
As is Obama.
Obama's going to die.
He came in young, right?
Yes.
But yes, I saw that stat to say the guys that are running at the moment, of those fun facts, right? They did a little thing X where they put the two presidents and their ages and they said things that have been invented or things that have come up since these presidents have been born. Basically, everything that they've witnessed.
It's everything.
Color TV, actual TV, everything.
I mean, maybe it's not radio, but aside from that, it's everything.
It's everything. And you're like, wow, these guys are really old.
They are really.
Is this why we're seeing a commodities rally? That doesn't make sense, right? For the longest time, gold was like, okay, gold versus dollar makes sense.
No, so gold rally makes sense, right? I think there's two drivers to the gold rally. The one is, well, apart from just, you know, gold and inflation and all of that stuff. But the other was the Russian invasion of Ukraine, when suddenly they lost access to their dollar reserves. And I think a lot of people were like, whoa, checky that. And you look who's been buying: Turkey, China, Indonesia. Suddenly they realize those reserves are like, let's get some proper stuff we can stick in the basement type of thing. And then I can't help wondering as well, just the sort of, I mean, Le Pen in France and sort of right move in a lot of elections that we're seeing, maybe spooking folks as well.
I think the election thing is it almost makes me feel like I'm glad we got our election out of the way, because, you know, we can now sit back and be like, you guys are in for it now, yeah. Especially with the US and all the other ones coming up.
But I mean, Palladium 3 weeks ago was trading 870. It's now 140 odd. I mean, that's a chunky move.
That's what I want to look at, right? Is on that move, is that move because markets are looking at something, or is it just because the craze that was EVs and cleaner energies and all of that seems to have died down quite a bit as well? I mean,
so that's an interesting point. And certainly there is a die down. I mean, look at Tesla, second quarter of reducing units shipped, etc. But I think we're seeing a couple of things in the EV space. The early adopters are done. In the last 10 years, if you wanted an EV and you had the money, you've gone and you've bought it and you were the early adopter. You know, into the second gen adopters, people who live in a flat like me, where do I charge my EV? Do I have to run a cable out the 10th floor all the way down to the ground? Range anxiety.
My building doesn't have EV parking bays or EV charging stations built into it, so it's not practical.
So I've got to sneak over to Standard Bank and pretend I'm there to visit somebody. And then I think also we're seeing a move in hybrid. So I think the whole idea that we were all going to be, you know, EV
non-combustion, like is ICE just was not gone, a thing.
It's just not going to happen. Now, you know, we're going to be using less EVs, less combustion. We are.
Possibly.
I mean, we can see that. But I don't think to the level that perhaps had been thought.
But I also think there's a generational component to it, right? There was an interesting study about Gen Zs, or the generations that are now coming into the age of maturity beyond 18 or 18 to 35s or whatever, the current youth of the world, lives for experiences, lives for now, lives for moments, isn't looking towards preservation and looking towards the future. That logic suggests that people will then, I'd rather travel than buy an EV. Rather than have a car in general, never mind an EV, just cars are so expensive, I'd rather put the money towards a holiday or something that I can actually enjoy. And now you're seeing that demand might not be where people
thought. But we also need to put it in perspective. Platinum for, how long is this chart? 5-year, 3-year chart, has been pretty much 830 to 1100. So platinum's kind of been range bound. Mm. Palladium's bouncing off the bottom. I mean, these might just be fake. This might not actually be.
Might just be a retest of highs, and then market comes and settles down again.
Gold, however, is doing it proper. I mean, gold is held. I mean, I hold gold for like the first time in my life, and it still just feels weird. So there's a little sort of since about, what are we, April. Yeah. It's been kind of in a channel up to that all-time high of 24.25, down to the lows of around 23-ish. But it's kind of been sticking in that channel for now, and it's quite comfortable sitting there. And at that price point, man, gold miners are making money. I mean, DRD's making like $800 an ounce at that point.
And you know what I love about the mining side of it now is, as these prices remain elevated, these guys don't have to do anything. Goldfields, DRD,
please do
gold.
Nothing. They
have to do nothing. All they have to do is maintain your exact same production levels. You're achieving a higher sales number. Your costs aren't going up, and your bottom line just looks rosy. We saw this like a couple of years ago when gold started its initial rally and moved up and everything. The miners were like, we didn't increase production, but we made a whole lot more money.
Yeah. And it is that. And that also goes back to what we're seeing in the PGM space, which is, you mentioned the new retrenchments coming out of Sibanye. I mean, we've seen shafts being closed, which is your classic bottom of cycle. The trick is, how long does that bottom of cycle last? But you start taking supply out of the equation, and at some point that pushes the price higher, and then you've got prices, and then all the supply comes rushing back in.
Huleman, activist investor. This is nuts now. Everybody just wakes up. If you've got money and you decide to go and change things, you go. We say the Huleman thing is one thing, but I'm now thinking about the Renegen conversation as well, and all other conversations. You now see people saying, we don't agree with what you're doing. We want to effect change. Why would you do that? Why would you take your money, go put it into something else?
You can make money.
Fair enough.
We've got to credit Mark Hassenfuss for this, because I'd never. So the chap's name, let me go find his name. He's got a wild name. And he came in and Flocka Skutta picked up 6.7% in Huleman. And Mark Hassenfuss spoke to him in this week's Financial Mail and says that the chap is just like absolutely saying that these guys are just like they're asleep at the wheel. And I'm paraphrasing, not quoting. And he's bought 7%. And he says, look, I'll just keep on buying until I run out of money or they start talking to me. But this chap's in the metal business, in the metal trading business.
How does that work? I'll keep buying until you either start listening to me or I run out of money. But if I get to a point where I run out of money, but I then own X amount of your company, it then means you have to talk to me because I'm a shareholder. Well,
and he says, and this is the quote from Mark, he says, Victor said it was aloof and arrogant, not enough skin in the game, implementation, discipline at Hulamin, etc. And he's obviously looked at a company and said, you know what, this thing should be worth multiples more, and I buy a stake and I poke them, and ultimately I get onto the board if need be, and we'll see some things happen.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's,
the share price hasn't done a heck of a lot. The share price is like, meh. But we're not very used to activist shareholders in this country. Actually, I take that back. And then the share price was what? Down at $3 and change. Okay, back in April, now it's $4. So 25% in a few months.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's not NVIDIA, but.
It's not, it's definitely not NVIDIA.
Nothing's NVIDIA.
I don't think we'll get to an NVIDIA anytime soon. Well, that's it. Market matters for the week.